Welcome to VOA's International Edition. I'm Susan Yawkey in Washington. Coming up, we'll discuss several developments in the race for the White House. Talk with an LGBT spokesperson in light of the worst mass shooting in U.S. history. A nonprofit is promoting active play as a crucial part of daily life for kids. And we'll hear about the new hit from Pink.
She's won 3 Grammys, sold over 30 million records, and 2013 Billboard named her the Woman of the Year.
It's all on today's International Edition. The U.S. presidential primary election season has officially ended. In the last contest for the Democrats, here in Washington, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton defeated Bernie Sanders. And afterwards, the two candidates met. Joining me here in the studio to talk about this and other developments in the race for the White House is senior national affairs correspondent Jim Malone. Welcome, Jim.
Hi, Susan.
Say, wouldn't you have liked to have been a fly on the wall in the Clinton-Sanders meeting? What do you think they said?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're obviously trying to pave the way for party unity. We're not getting the Bernie Sanders public endorsement yet of Hillary Clinton. He's going to be giving an address on Thursday to talk to his supporters. Maybe we'll hear something then. This is going to come slowly. Democrats don't seem to be in a rush to push him. But the party is coming together. I mean, President Obama now is almost becoming a second candidate in the presidential race with his eagerness to take on Donald Trump. And I know we'll talk about that. But right now, I think the Democrats are fairly confident things are going to come together in the next few weeks, hopefully before the Democratic convention in July.
Well, I did see the other day that Clinton's ratings are up again in the polls.
Yeah, I've been looking at a few polls, a couple of polls, and they may be outliers. That is above the average. She has double-digit leads. I'm not sure the race is quite that wide open, but in the last several days, a few polls have shown her lead expanding. And the consensus among experts seems to be that the way Republican Donald Trump has reacted to the Orlando shooting and some of the comments he's made about not only protecting the country from terrorism and his ban on Muslims, but also his attacks on President Obama, Hillary Clinton, and what he refers to as their policies that have allowed the terrorists to come into the country. It looks like, at least in the short term, there may be some sort of a backlash on that for him.
Well, as you mentioned a moment ago, it seems like there's a new game plan with President Obama and Clinton in one corner and Trump over in the other corner, kind of two and ganging up on one there. What is your impression about all that?
Well, I'll tell you one impression I have is it's an unusual situation for a sitting president who's about to wind up 2 terms to get this involved in a presidential race. And I think, and President Obama has basically said over in recent months that he does not like the rhetoric he's hearing in the Republican primaries, especially from Mr. Trump. And he seems very eager to counter it. We saw that yesterday with his comments about Trump's Muslim ban and his rhetoric. And I just see the president more than willing to wade in on behalf of Hillary Clinton. Who would have predicted this? You know, they were fierce primary opponents 8 years ago, and now they may be each other's best allies. And, you know, there's a contrast here because in 2000, when Al Gore was running to succeed Bill Clinton, Al Gore did everything he could to put some distance between himself and Bill Clinton, mainly because of the sexual scandal involving the president. But we're seeing a completely different playbook this time around, and this president seems more than eager to wade into the campaign.
But you've talked to me before about how it seems this time around Americans don't really want the same old Washington. They don't want the same old politicians. But yet Obama's coming out with Clinton. They're coming out as a pair. Is that old school stuff?
Well, here's one of the reasons why you can't underestimate Trump as a potential political player, because there are polls that show 60-70% of Americans are in the mood for change. They want to see the country head in a different direction. And historically, after 2 terms of one president, there's been a public mood for change. We saw that in 2008 after 8 years of George W. Bush, and they turned to Barack Obama. So the Democrats have this in the back of their minds, and they're going to try to make it so that, fine, you want change, but you can't turn to Donald Trump because he's just not viable as a commander-in-chief. That's the Democratic argument they're trying to make. And in some ways, Trump's comments this week maybe have played into that, because certainly a number of Republicans are nervous about some of the things Trump is doing.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much, Jim, for your insight. Always appreciate you stopping by and explaining it all to us.
You bet.
Okay. Joining us here at the Anchor Desk with what's happening on the web concerning U.S. politics is our social media reporter, Andrew Palchevsky. And welcome to you, Andrew.
Thank you very much.
Hey, what can you tell us about what's going on the web with us?
Well, you know, it's a rare day on social media, especially these days when either Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton isn't the top name trending on social media. But we actually have two politicians in the U.S. or political figures who are trending and that aren't Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. And the first is Herman Cain. Now, Herman Cain has come out, and he's out speaking on behalf of Donald Trump. He's one of the surrogates for Donald Trump. Of course, he's a pizza magnate, and he ran for president. He was one of the Republican contenders. And he's come out to say that Donald Trump is not a racist, and he's off defending him. Herman Cain, of course, is African-American, so he's speaking from that position saying, I know Donald Trump, I know he's not a racist. But he's getting a lot of attention on social media because he had some odd comments in his kind of introductory remarks. He said, aw, shucky ducky. This sounds like a shucky ducky kind of crowd on a shucky ducky kind of day. Apparently, this is a phrase he's used in the past. It kind of means he's thrilled to be there. He's excited. But a lot of people questioning, saying, shucky ducky, what is it?
No, it's not, I wasn't not quite really sure myself.
Yeah, not really a phrase that you hear a lot in common parlance. But so he's getting some attention for that. But on a more serious note, we're seeing a lot of attention also for Senator Chris Murphy. Senator Chris Murphy represents the state of Connecticut, of course, where the Newtown shooting was 4 years ago, where a number of students and teachers were killed at the Newtown Elementary School in a mass shooting. And he is filibustering on the Senate floor. He said he'll speak until he can't speak anymore on expanding background checks for terror suspects. He said he's going to speak on the Senate floor, and he's tweeted out just saying, I'm going to do this. We've had enough of gun violence, using hashtag enough. And that's kind of a hashtag that a lot of people have rallied around. So a lot of support for him. Others, however, on social media saying, well, is this really going to do anything? Is this really going to change anything? Questioning his motives. But either way, we can, in the age of social media, live stream his entire filibuster as he's speaking on the Senate floor. And in the past, filibusters have gone on for, you know, 10, 12 hours. Some of these senators have spoken. So people wondering how long he'll go on, how long he'll be able to speak on behalf of these expanded background checks.
And of course, some of this is a result of the terrible mass shooting we had. We'll have some more on the show a little later about that. But there has been yet another tragedy in Orlando. A two-year-old little boy down in Disney World was dragged away by an alligator.
Disney World is, you know, one of the happiest places on earth. It's supposed to be where kids can go on the rides and see these familiar characters from cartoons. And yes, hashtag Disney Gator Attack. This poor young boy was dragged away. We're just getting word breaking on social media from the police there that they say they believe that he has been killed by that alligator. Now, this is something that happens not with a fair degree of frequency around the world, but maybe certainly more than in Orlando. And I think that's why this is getting a lot of attention. And not only is it Disney World, where people come to have fun and go on the rides, but it's happening in Orlando, where they just had this mass shooting. So a really tragic story.
Yes. Well, thank you very much, Andrew, for stopping by.
Thank you.
In the news, U.S. investigators say that the wife of the man who carried out the biggest mass shooting in U.S. history had some knowledge of his plans. China warns against U.S. President Barack Obama meeting with the Dalai Lama, saying it could damage mutual trust. A British-Iranian woman being detained in Iran has been charged with attempting to overthrow the country's government. In U.S. politics, Clinton and Sanders hold a positive meeting. A quick vanishing act at an ASEAN meeting of a South China Sea statement. News, feature reports, and more are on the voanews.com website and on our VOA mobile app. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
In the first released Star Wars movie, A New Hope, Luke Skywalker is shown living with his aunt and uncle on the circumbinary planet Tatooine. A circumbinary planet is one that orbits two stars rather than one. Now, astronomers from NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center and San Diego State University say that they have discovered the largest planet, both in size and orbit, to circle a twin star system that's been discovered so far. The planet, Kepler-1647b, is located about 3,700 light-years away in the constellation Cygnus. The astronomers say the huge planet has a mass similar to Jupiter, is about 4.4 billion years old, which is nearly the same age as Earth, and orbits its sun-like twin stars every 3 years. Although the planet orbits its sun in the habitable zone, scientists say that since it is a gas giant, it's doubtful that it can host life. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
The worst mass shooting in U.S. history at a Florida gay nightclub Sunday has set off discussions about lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender protections and rights. The murder of 49 people and the wounding of over 50 others has raised awareness from the water cooler to the White House. On the line with us now from the D.C. Center for the LGBT community is Tanya Turner. Welcome, Tanya.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. First, we would like to give your organization a chance to respond to that tragedy in Orlando.
First of all, let me just say again, thank you for giving me the opportunity to speak, because this is a national tragedy. And I would like to say I, along with lots of my colleagues, were just shocked, especially in light of the fact that this is the Pride celebration. And there is so much visibility and so many people are happy and open and we're surrounded by allies. But this was a reminder. A reminder that it's important to be vigilant, to be visible, and to be vocal, because danger lurks, and we have to advocate, stay on our toes, and always be aware.
What would your group like to see done concerning LGBT rights, human rights, in the United States?
Well, I would like to say first, I'm very fortunate to live in the District of Columbia, where we have the Office of the Human Rights here, that there are strong proponents and there are strong laws here to support our community. However, that is not the case throughout the country. So I would like to have more laws throughout the country that support us. And not only do we need the laws, we need to have accountability when the laws aren't followed. And we also need to have safe spaces where people feel comfortable reporting and know that their accountability will be there.
And you're a lawyer. You would like to see this legally be put down so people can be prosecuted?
Yes, absolutely. That's part of it. I think it's a twofold situation. First, there's about advocacy and making people aware. And there is the other arm of prosecuting, to making sure that, again, that accountability is there. And also, I think it's important that we also acknowledge that counseling and mental health services are lacking in this country, and I think they're also important to be addressed as well.
Some of our listeners overseas and some Americans here are opposed to gays. Just in general, they're opposed to gay people. What would you like to say to those people?
Well, I can't change their hearts and minds, and I'm not trying to. I'm not asking them to like me or to like us as a community, but I'm asking them to give us basic respect and afford us the basic human rights that all people are entitled to as members of a society.
Well, thank you very much, Tanya, for speaking with us.
Thank you for, again, having me, and thank you for getting the word out.
Coming up on International Edition, Playful Cities USA takes play seriously. And a peek at Pink's new song, say that. More than 250 U.S. cities are playful communities, according to Playful City USA, a national program that honors those cities and towns for creating safer environments where kids can play. The program is run by Kaboom, a nonprofit that promotes active play as a crucial part of daily life for all kids, especially those growing up in unserved areas. Faiza El-Masri tells us more about Kaboom's philosophy and how it translates it into playgrounds, Faith Lapidus narrates.
I'm too grown-ups to push me too.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Play is an important part of the childhood experience. That's the message Kaboom brings to communities as it helps them create playgrounds for neighborhood kids. Maita Moon, Kaboom's city initiative director, says over the past 20 years, the organization has built more than 2,000 playgrounds across North America.
When we look for a playground, it has to be a place that either doesn't have one or has an old one that needs to be updated.
Getting neighbors involved is key to the process. Michelle Robinson says she volunteered to help build a playground in the Virginia neighborhood she's lived in for almost 40 years because it was important for the community and for her grandchildren.
Now I can let them out and don't have to worry about where they're at, because I can sit right here and watch them play from out the window.
She says the new playground has changed the way her four grandkids play.
The kids are not fighting anymore because it's something for them to do now, because we have the hopscotch and other games to play out here.
In another neighborhood in Washington, Kaboom renovated an old playground.
It's really nice
They did a great job renovating it, and the surface is nice.
Raquel Saltzman and her daughter come here often.
My daughter enjoys this playground particularly, not just because it's in our neighborhood, but just, I mean, there's a playground meant for bigger kids as they get more adventurous.
For 10 years, Kaboom has sponsored the Playful Cities USA program. Communities submit applications outlining their projects and activities, hoping to be honored as a playful city. This year, Kaboom recognized 257 of them.
One of the cities that we'd like to show as an example is York, Pennsylvania, a very small city. So they're doing things like creating play opportunities at bus stops. They are chalking their sidewalks. They have play day so the entire family can participate. And we work with the city throughout the year to provide them with different learning opportunities so they can learn more about how to bring more play to the kids in their cities. We want them to start thinking about how to redesign their communities and their cities with kids in mind, because we find that if a city prioritizes kids and play, it turns into a place where families want to stay, they want to be, and families want to move to.
Kaboom also announced an exciting competition called the Play Everywhere Challenge.
This is an opportunity for cities, community groups, and nonprofits to apply for grants. We're giving away up to $1 million in grants so that people can provide us with the best examples of play everywhere. You know, what are those really innovative, creative ideas that you can share and then try to implement on your own?
The goal is to inspire city leaders to consider kids' needs when designing their communities, because play is important.
Play contributes to the well-being of the whole child. It helps them to become a healthy and balanced adult. It contributes to their social and emotional well-being. It helps them to curb obesity rates.
And through helping cities create more playgrounds, Kaboom creates a more playful society. For writer Faiza El-Masri, I'm Faith Lapidus, VOA News.
This is VOA.
Health news and notes. This is Living Better.
A Formula One racing mechanic can change a tire in seconds, but safety is just as critical as speed. This combination of skills is also being sought by doctors and nurses from the University Hospital of Wales in the UK as they try to save critically ill babies. Dr. Rachel Hayward.
If your mechanic doesn't put a bolt on a wheel correctly, then you may lose your driver's life on the first bend. You know, if we don't do something right in our resuscitation processes, you know, we lose a baby.
So nurses at University Hospital are training like an F1 team, working together to improve efficiencies. Louise Cleeton is lead nurse for the project.
Just knowing what kit we need and what is essential in that scenario, then it can improve things.
The hospital also records infant resuscitation efforts with on-body cameras. I'm Martin Seacrest for VOA's Living Better.
Pink, the superstar Pink, the singer. She's got a brand new song out. To tell us all about it is Larry London of Border Crossings. Welcome, Larry.
Thank you, Susan. It's great to be here. Yes, it's been 3 years coming, but Pink finally has a brand new song. And this song she recorded and co-wrote along with Max Martin for a film called Alice Through the Looking Glass, which is the sequel to Alice in Wonderland, Johnny Depp, and quite a few other stars from the first one. Yes, the film isn't doing all that well in the box office, but the song did very well. It got as high as a top 10 in the United States, went to number one in Australia. Pink, by the way, his real name is not Pink.
Well, I guess that much.
It's Alicia Moore, and she's been at it for quite a while and had quite a few songs. She's won 3 Grammys, sold over 30 million records. In 2013, Billboard named her the Woman of the Year.
Wow.
So she's been around for a while, and it's great to have her back. This is kind of preceding a new album. She's been at work in the studio on some new music. And so she's kind of teased us now with this new song, and hopefully she'll have a new album out.
And you are teasing me by not giving me the name of the song.
All right, I'll stop the teasing. It's Just Like Fire.
And I'm wishing they stopped trying to turn me off. I want it on. Mm-hmm. And I'm walking on a wire, trying to go higher. Feels like I'm surrounded by clowns and liars. Even when I give it all away, I want it all.
You know where I see Pink? is on the Ellen DeGeneres TV show.
Yes, she sings the new theme song to the Ellen DeGeneres TV talk show. Mm-hmm. And they've been good friends for years and years. But Pink has been at it a lot longer than Ellen has and released so many albums and has had so many hits. She does well in the United States. And interestingly, she also does very, very well in Australia, where she kind of goes on tour for about 3 months and stays there only in Australia when she does finally go on the road. So it's interesting. And here's another interesting fact about Pink. Her daughter, 4-year-old Willow Sage, who appears in the video for the new song, Just Like Fire, says she doesn't like mommy's voice.
Oh, that's not nice.
I know. She said, please don't sing, mommy. And she made her, there's kind of an agreement between the two of them. She will not sing in the car.
Aww.
Whenever Willow's in the car. So it's kind of interesting.
Well, I think of her as being very athletic as far as her act goes.
That's great. She studied gymnastics and was a gymnast when she was younger and growing up and incorporates a lot of that into what she does now on the various award shows she performs and in her concerts on tour. She does acrobatics. She's swinging from a trapeze bar up in the air, and she does all kinds of acrobats. So that's kind of interesting you point that out.
Well, you know, I didn't know why she did it, but now it makes sense.
Yes, okay. She's got a background in gymnastics okay. And a great songwriter, too.
Many talents,
just like you.
Oh, Larry, you're so sweet. Thank you.
Just like fire burning up the way, if I can light the world up for just one day, watch this madness, colorful charade. No one can be just like me anyway, just like fire.
Thanks for joining us today for International Edition.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Since Russia's invasion of Crimea and then eastern Ukraine, it has become clear that Russia is unwilling to abide by international law or live by the rules of the institutions that Russia joined at the end of the Cold War, said U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs Victoria Nuland. To counter the threat posed by Russia's aggression and deter any military moves against NATO territory, the United States and its NATO allies have maintained a military presence on land, sea, and air along NATO's eastern edge in Poland, Romania, Bulgaria, and the three Baltic states. All 28 allies have participated in exercises, training sessions, and patrols throughout Europe supported by the U.S. To press Moscow to bring an end to the violence in Ukraine and fully implement its commitments under the Minsk agreements, the United States has worked with the European Union, the G7, and other like-minded nations to impose successive rounds of tough economic sanctions on Russia over the past 2 years. These sanctions, combined with low oil prices and Russia's continued structural weaknesses, have imposed significant costs. The United States is working to increase the resilience of countries across Europe that face pressure from Russia. To help Ukraine better monitor and secure its borders, deploy its forces more effectively, and defend its sovereignty and territorial integrity, the United States has committed over $600 million in non-lethal security assistance. The United States is also helping countries in Eastern Europe and Eurasia to strengthen their democratic institutions, reform their economies, and fight corruption. Energy diversification remains a key component in protecting vulnerable countries over dependence on Russian energy. At the same time, the U.S. will continue to look for ways to work with Russia in areas of common interest, including nonproliferation, nuclear security, and counterterrorism. Finally, the United States will continue to engage directly with those Russian businesses and individuals who share American interests and values. And the United States will continue to speak out against laws and policies that impede the work of Russian civil society and violate the fundamental rights of freedom of expression, assembly, and association in Russia and elsewhere in the region. The United States will continue to strongly support its NATO allies while promoting freedom and democracy throughout Europe and Eurasia.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.